Love and Marriage, The Love Story of Nancy and Frank, Book 1, Chapter 29, Going Back Home. I thought I would try something different here. Instead of reading this chapter to you, I thought I would just tell you. Frank had been out on bivouac for a week, and when he got home, we still had some things to do. While he was out on bivouac, I had been packing up all of our stuff into these two huge barrels, which I had shipped our stuff to Air Massachusetts in, and we planned to ship all of our stuff back home in those same barrels. We had lived in Massachusetts about 6.5 months, but we hadn't really had the money to accumulate anything, so we still had space in those two barrels. These we shipped with a company called REA Express, and they could ship by truck, plane, ship, or train. But our stuff we had shipped up by train and would ship it back by train to Bay City, Texas. We had to be out of our apartment December the 15th, so Frank and I had to find a place to stay for a few days before we left Air Massachusetts. Our friends had already moved back to Iowa, so we couldn't stay with them. Frank would not be through at Fort Devens until December the 18th, so we decided to rent a room at the NCO guest housing on base for 5 days. This cost us $3 a day for a grand total of $15. That doesn't seem like much, but when you think about Frank's salary was $60 a month, that was a lot. The room was small with two twin beds, and it had a small nightstand which separated them, and that was basically all that was in the room. We had a community bath down the hall from our room, which was small but convenient, and it had a shower and a toilet in the sink. Of course, we had to wait our turn, which was fine with us. It had been snowing for about a week or two, and the base looked like a winter wonderland. I don't even know how to explain it, except if you live up north, you know what a winter wonderland looks like. We were from Texas. We didn't see snow like that all the time. It was Christmas, and so on Fort Devens, there were Christmas lights everywhere, and at night, the reflection of the Christmas lights in the snow, or as it was snowing, was really beautiful, and we spent a lot of time looking at that at night. Frank had to finish up his transfer paper during the day, so while he was doing that, I would walk around the base close to the unit where we were staying, not too far. We didn't have a car, so I would stay in the general area. Frank actually finished up quicker than we expected, so we had some days to just hang out on the base together. So that was fun. We could walk to the PX and different places together and just look around. It was a beautiful base, and we had not been able to spend much time there because we had to take a taxi to get there, which cost us too much money. So the last night we were on the base was December the 18th, and we took a long walk together in the new snow that had fallen during that day. And we always took our faithful battery-powered transistor radio with us. We liked music, and we would just turn it kind of low and sing along if we felt like it. We decided to walk off the base a couple of miles to a diner in Air, where we ate a hamburger at the diner there that we had eaten at one other time. And we had a piece of hot apple pie, and it had ice cream and melted cheese on top, and it was totally awesome. I had never had homemade apple pie like that, and that became one of my favorite things. After we had finished eating, we decided to walk down the main street of Air past our apartment building one more time. I think we were just trying to soak in all of the memories of living there into our minds. We didn't actually go into the building, but we talked about it just to walk up the stairs one more time to our apartment door and come back down. But we wanted to remember it the last way we had seen it. But it was like trying to memorize where the buildings were, different places we had gone, and talking about it. It was a very special time for us. It was the first years of our first months of our marriage together, and everything was new and just special. It was always special to us. We had decided to walk back a different route back to the base on the back road, and no one had driven on that road, and it was snowing. The snow had no tracks of animals or people or vehicles at all. And when we got to a bridge that crossed a creek there, we decided to stop and let the snow just kind of hit us on the head. And Frank set the radio down on one of the guards on the bridge. And then he took me in his arms and he kissed me. And it was so special. The snow's falling. There's low music playing. And the next thing I hear on the radio is Hooked on a Feeling, a song by Blue Suede. And Frank and I started laughing and singing together. So we walked hand in hand back to the base, knowing that we were hooked on a feeling. We were hooked on a feeling of being madly in love with each other. The next morning was December 19th, and Frank and I had to take a cab to Boston. Frank had decided that we should probably spend the night in Boston because our plane would leave early on the 20th, which was the next morning. We rented a room in a hotel, which was downtown. That afternoon, we walked to an indoor picture show and bought tickets and went in and watched a movie. I do not remember what the title of the movie was, but we watched a movie in Boston. When the movie was over, we decided to take a walk, and we walked to a place called the Boston Commons. It's a park in central Boston, and it was a beautiful park. There was snow everywhere and people everywhere playing in the snow, throwing snowballs and just having fun. So we sat and watched the people in the park on the bench for a long time before we went back to the hotel for supper. Early the next morning, Frank and I took the cab to the airport, and that was probably the wildest ride I have ever taken in a cab. The cab driver was stop and go, and he drove very wildly and very fast. There was a tunnel where six lanes converged into two lanes, and I'm not sure he didn't sideswipe about five cars as he tried to get in the lane he wanted to be in. I was totally not wanting to watch his driving and kind of ducking down in the seat, and Frank was laughing the whole way. He thought that was the funniest thing he had ever seen in his life. When we arrived at the airport, we checked in, and we got to actually sit beside each other, even though he was military standby and I was student standby. We were able to get seats together, which was great because we had never flown together, and it was the second time for me to fly and probably the third time for him. He might have flown once when he was a child, but it was my second time, and it was Christmas time. It's the 20th of December, and we're on the plane with everybody else, and everybody's happy and jolly, and it was just a fun time, and it was bustling of people. So once we got on the plane and got up into the air, and everyone had their seatbelts off, and all of a sudden we hit a lot of turbulence, and the pilot turned on the fasten your seatbelt sign, which was kind of alarming because we weren't expecting that, but we definitely weren't expecting him to come on and tell us that he would have to be taking a different route because of a storm that was blowing in, and so he would be going out over the Atlantic instead of a more direct flight to Houston. And he decided to let us know how many miles it was extra, how much fuel he had, and how much fuel it took to go so many miles. And then he asked us to please pray that we made it. Well, that wasn't a good idea for him to tell Nancy Lou, I guarantee you. I'm figuring this out on paper, and I figured out we might not make it. So I'm holding on to Frank's hand and squeezing it, and the whole plane had gotten pretty silent. You know, we really weren't expecting an announcement from the pilot saying we might not make it to Houston. So we all, you know, sat very silently, and finally, you know, it was a long flight and very turbulent. And when we finally got close, I guess, enough to Houston, the pilot came back on and he told us we'd done a good job praying because he could see the lights of the tower in Houston and at Hobby Airport, which we were very excited about. Everybody was applauding and laughing, and it was a good time to be alive at that moment. So we, of course, made it and landed safely, and our parents were waiting for us, and it was a happy time. We hadn't seen them in 6.5 months, and everybody was excited. I decided to ride back to Van Vleck with my folks, and he rode with his folks, so we could each tell our own stories. And then later that night, I got a phone call from Frank, and he says, he told me, he said, Nancy Lou, this isn't working out for me. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about, Frank. And he said, well, either you're going to come here or I'm going to come there, because I'm not spending the night without you. And I totally agreed with that. And so we made a decision, and he decided to come there. And his dad had allowed him to borrow the car, so he came there and stayed that night. And then we spent the next night at his folks' house. So it was pretty much, you know, back and forth for 30 days, enjoying our brothers and sisters. And Frank's little sister was very young when we married. She wasn't just a little over a year old. So it was an exciting Christmas. A little one in the house, and my brothers. I had two very young ones that were, one was 10 and the other one was 12 when we married. So it was an exciting Christmas for us. And I just thought that I would tell you this story myself instead of reading it. And I hope you enjoy this. And I thank you for listening.